Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal PayMe link or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
Today I'm going to talk about what you probably heard before, but different emphasis today. And I believe that, you know, somebody needs to hear this. Amen? Yeah. We are going to read from the book of John, chapter 15. That's our main scripture. Reading will be in John, chapter 15. And we will start from verse 1. Amen. John, chapter 15 from verse 1. Are we ready there? Have we found it? Say, neighbor, it's in the New Testament, please. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. I pray that you will bless my lips, anoint my lips. I pray that my spirit is open to receive and download from the heavenlies. For this hour, for this moment, Father, I pray. May I speak as your oracle, I pray. Not many qualify. May I be found qualified to speak as your oracle today, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I am the true vine.
I am what? The true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the one watering the garden, is the one making sure that the tree is in a good shape. The tree looks good all the time. And that tree is us, is the church. And Christ is the vine and we are the branches. Amen. Continue reading.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes.
So all the time this is happening in the garden, because the interest of the dresser or the one looking after the garden is to make sure that the tree remains good looking all the time. Amen. He watches it and see if there is anything that doesn't show any sign of life. And then he cuts it. And the one that shows life, he helps it to show more life. Continually, things are being disconnected, and those that are connected are made strong. That happens all the time. You know, that's why I don't understand people who say, once a Christian, always a Christian. Once born again, always born again. I don't understand that. Because Jesus Christ, in his own words, he says, some will be cut off. Can someone lose salvation? I don't know what that means. But what I know is that there's something that was once connected and it got disconnected. I don't know how you want to explain that theologically. Are you hearing me? You know, people debate these things. Can somebody lose salvation? Can somebody? All I know is that if you're connected and you're not serious, you'll be cut off. The tragedy of it is that some of us, we use branches that have been cut off in the church. That's a problem. Branches that have been cut off are leading us. Those that have been rejected, we have honored. Those that have been shamed, we have praised. That's what is happening in the church today. What is pleasing to our eyes and our ears, that we like, that we celebrate, even if God rejects. Hallelujah. Amen. The reality of it all is that there are some folks that are going to be cut off. Better make sure it's not you. And they're being cut off all the time. Because he looks around and see which one looks dead. Whatever looks dead, doesn't even ask questions. He just cuts it off. Pray that you're not the one. Pray that you will not be the one. When the Father walks around in the garden and he looks at this tree, may he be pleased with the branches. And there's a way the branches must look. And there's a way to know what is dead and what is alive. Continue reading.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Wow. Say wow. You are already clean because of what? Of the word that I've spoken to you. Continue reading.
Abide in me.
Abide in me.
And I in you.
Abide in me and I in you. So, abide means stay in me. Remain in me. No matter what, stay in me. Stay with me. There are things in this world that will want to remove you. That's why he says, stay in me. You know, there's the times when this world is so much challenging that Christians find it hard to remain in Christ. The word you are receiving today is stay, hlala. Why would he say stay? It means there is a possibility you could leave. Stay in me. Amen? And I want you to underline that because he's building up to something. He says, stay in me. Abide in me. Okay? And then, and my word abide in you. Can you read it again?
Abide in me and I in you.
Uh-huh.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself.
Abide in me and me in you. In other words, my word in you. So you can abide in Christ, meaning you're staying in him, but the word is not in you. In other words, you can be connected to him, meaning stay, you are connected to Christ. But his word is not in you. A dead branch, basically it means that it does not have the veins to transport the life of a tree. It is dead. The sap that is in the tree cannot reach the branch. Although it remains connected, just waiting to be cut off, of course. It doesn't have the life of the tree in it, which is his word. So when he says abide in me, it means be a born-again Christian. Know him, declare him, speak of him. You're connected. But him in you is a different story. So you in him, you identify with him. But does he identify with you? In other words, does he live in you in his word? So there are many people who know Christ because they are Christians, they've been born again, but they do not have the life of him in themselves. In other words, the sap that flows in the tree does not reach them, which is the word of God. So he says that the word must be in you. Don't just say you're connected to me, I know Christ, I'm born again, I'm a Christian, but yet in you there is no Christ. He doesn't live in you, and he lives in us through his word. I believe that this is the message that we need to be hearing at this hour. Because some of us are deceived there, but yet we are not. We believe we are still connected, but yet we are not. Do we have the life of him in us? Hallelujah. Do we have the life of Christ in us, or we just know him? Amen. Continue reading.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me.
So the tree cannot bear fruit unless it abides. What does it mean? Unless the word of God lives in you, you cannot bear fruit. Unless the word of God is in you. In other words, it lives in you. It's not that you know scriptures, but you know the word, in that it impacts your life, your decisions, your direction in life. Your obedience is to the word of God in everything that you do. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I talking to somebody here? There are some of us, we proclaim and our knowledge of God, but we don't have fruit. We don't have fruit. Yes, we may be connected for now, of course, because if you are a dead branch, in no time you're gone. If you see a dead branch for a long time on a fruit-bearing tree, you must know there is no vine dresser. Because if that vine dresser comes and sees that thing, he's going to cut it off. It's a matter of time. You can see it going that way. When you come back, you know it will be gone, because no one leaves a dead branch on a living tree. No one. Hello? Are you here? Are you here? So, it's a must that a branch must produce fruit. Some of us Christians, we are the most difficult people to deal with in this world. Very, very difficult. But yet we are supposed to manifest Christ and demonstrate Christ to the unbelievers. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me? More than ever before, this is the time to bear fruit. Look at your neighbor. This is the time to bear fruit. God is not happy with a lot of us. I want to say it again. God is not happy with a lot of us. Yes. Amen. Someone shared a dream with me, and this person said, please pray about it. And this morning when I was coming down from, and some of the things started coming out about what this is all about. I won't tell you the dream, but I'll tell you what it means. Two things are happening in the church and God is not happy. One is falsehood, a complete falsehood. People know very well that they are not of God. They are just in the church. They are serving the devil in the church. Some of them serve the devil from the pulpit. They do horrible things in the church. No different from what the sons of Eli were doing. In the name of God, he's so angry. Number two, which is probably many of us, is that we have tolerated a lot of things that are wrong. And we have normalized them in our midst. The things that look are not supposed to be seen in our midst, we have accepted them so much and it's normal. on the pulpit, on the stage, on the worship, on the pews, everywhere, we have accepted things we are not supposed to accept in the church. They are part of us, it's normal. We are comfortable with things that God is not comfortable with. We have normalized them. It's good, it's all right, it's cool. We don't see anything wrong with them. I believe God is calling us to a point of repentance and transformation as the church of God. To go back to becoming a true branches that are connected to a true vine. Jesus Christ himself. Are we portraying the life of Christ in our lives? Right now, what you're doing, would Christ do that? You know, sometimes people ask me, is this wrong? Is this wrong or is it right? Is it the right thing to do as a Christian? I simply ask you this question. Do you think Jesus Christ will do that? If the answer is no, don't do it. If Christ was here today, would he do it? Pastor, is it wrong to do this? Okay, fine. I don't know. But what I know is that you have to portray Christ. He lives in you. So my question is, do you think he would do that? Pastor, is it wrong to kiss somebody if you're not married? Would Christ do that? Would Christ do that? If the answer is yes, go ahead, do it. The answer is no, don't do it. If truly he lives in you, you will know what the answer is. You see, the reason why we are policing people is because they have lost their relationship with Christ. We have to be worried every time they turn the corner what they are going to do. You know, people who lose the fear of God and I'm telling you, for as long as people don't see them, they are good to go. Yes. But not so with those that are connected to the vine. They just know it. Amen. Are you connected? And how strong is the connection? Is he abiding in you, or are you abiding in him, or both? If you abide in Christ, the word of God, if he abides in you, it means the word of God lives and stays in you. It shapes you. It shapes who you are. It shapes your thinking. It shapes your view on life. It influences everything about you. Amen. Continue reading.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit.
Yes. Bears what? Much fruit. You shall know them by their fruit. Say, you shall know them by their fruit. How do we know them? Is it by yabba, 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 yabba? No. It is by the... Christians are supposed to be the most enjoyable people to be around. Are you with me? It must be the most enjoyable people to spend your time with. The most palatable, is that the right word? Palatable. Huh? Yeah. You must enjoy being with a Christian. Some Christians wish, "Oza maya ni maramuto." Have you enjoyed, have you eaten nice fruits, cold and nice fruits? Do you feel like putting it down? Huh? I don't know what's the fruit you like. Mango? Lychee? Which one do you like? Lychee? Which one? Mango? Banana? I say neighbor, really, banana. What? Huh? Fruit. Berries. Oh, yes. Strawberries. Somebody's already salivating right now. Which fruits do you like? What? Banana. I mean, not banana. Apple. Did you say apple? Apple. Yeah? Peach. Okay. Oranges. Lemon. Did you say lemon? That's why you always look so sour. You see, fruit, you enjoy, isn't it? You don't want to put it down, you want to finish it. I enjoy my apple so much that I eat everything. Like my kids will look at me and say, is it gone? I mean, all you, now it's only that little stick that remains. Where's the rest? Like they can't get used to that. All their lives they've seen me finishing, demolishing apples, including their seeds. Yeah. How many of you eat an apple like that? Let me see. No, they. I've got friends in the house. I'm not alone. I've got friends. At some point, they were asking me, "So what's going to happen to the seeds in you? Are they going to grow, Daddy? Are they going to grow?" They won't make it in my stomach. It's dangerous thing. Hallelujah. You see, here's the thing. You have to enjoy Christians. If people are running away from you, ask yourself, are you not the dead branch you? You shall know them by their fruit. Fruit attract people. Fruit says, come here, come and eat me. Bear fruit. Look at your neighbor. Let's bear some fruit.
He who abides in me, yes, and I in him, mm-hmm, bears much fruit.
Yeah.
For without me, you can do nothing.
Yes.
Verse 6. Mm-hmm. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, mm-hmm, and is withered. Mm-hmm. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, mm-hmm, and they are burned.
Now, that will happen right at the end. But I'm sure this prophecy has got a double application. Even now, I'm sure that is happening, some burning going on. And not be waiting to be destroyed then. The point is, make sure that you are a good branch. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Make sure that you are a good branch. And you bear fruit. When people are telling you that you are like this, stop arguing. Go check yourself. They are helping you. Don't defend yourself. When they say to you, why are they doing? That's what people do. People say, when You're like this. Stop defending yourself. Just go check. They might be helping you. Because the next time anybody talks to you, it will be a chopping process, which will be more painful. So when people say to you are like this, it means they are not enjoying something. So just go check it. Look at the number. Say, go check it. Continue reading.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you.
You will ask what you desire, it will be done unto you. Now, King James says, you will ask what you will. Okay? You will, it will be done unto you. Amen? Now, what does this mean? Many of us, we're asking and praying and requesting things from God. But there are certain things, according to the Bible, that come with a guarantee that it will be done. Before you complain that your prayers are not being answered, ask yourself this question. Is it one of those that come with a guarantee or not? The Bible tells us surely you will be answered. But there is a condition before that promise. Is the condition of abiding. So it's not just ask whatever you like. No, it says ask what you will. It shall be done for you. But it's within context. That context is the one of abiding. So you don't just take one scripture and say, God said, I can ask anything. No, he's not talking to you. No, he wasn't talking to you. Forget it. Look at the neighbor. I'm sorry. He's talking about somebody who's not here. He will be listening to the audio later, not you. He's talking to those who have qualified themselves in the first portion of the scripture. Those who are binding him and him in them, then those ones, they can ask whatever they will, it shall be done to them. And in fact, when I look at Christ, in John 14, verse 11, just read John 14, verse 11, we'll come back to the scripture. John 14, verse 11.
Believe me that I am in the Father.
Yes.
And the Father in me.
Aha, look. It's the same thing of abiding. He abides in the Father and the Father abides in him. Are you here? He says what? He's in the Father and the Father is in him. It means they are one. Look at our neighbor. You must be one with Christ. When I see you, I must see Christ. When I see Christ, I must see you. Oh no, I'm talking to the wrong people here. You know, there are people who have got two lives. There's a Christian life and there's another life. It's not one. Those ones with a double life, you can ask and fast for 100 years, nothing is going to happen. Double standard, that's all you get. Don't come to God and ask for anything. Okay, by his mercies you answer, but no guarantees. Guarantees come from abiding.
I'm in here now. Hello, Shile Khale,
last year, Salosha last year, the day I started preaching nicely, I lost amens. Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? Christ, Jesus Christ says, believe me when I say what? I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Can you say the same when I'm in Christ and Christ is in me? That's what you are supposed to say. Are you in Christ? Yeah, we are in Christ. We are born again, but he's in you. Oops. In me, I'm not sure now. I'm still full of myself. I'm still pushing my own agenda. Do you still love me? Can I continue to preach? Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you love Jesus Christ? Now, when you read John, John 5, verse 19.
Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do.
Now, listen. Jesus Christ says he has come to a point where he cannot do anything on his own accord. In other words, whatever he likes. Jesus Christ was God though. Here on earth. Some of us, if we had these God abilities, this world would be a mess. I hope I'm talking to somebody here. Jesus Christ was God but restrained. Because he knew he was submitting and he knew he was connected and was abiding in. In other words, he wasn't doing what he liked. He was doing what the Father wanted him to do. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody. He didn't go around. He says, whatever I see my Father do, that I do. I don't do things on my own accord. Even though he had the power to do that. You know, it's like, this is another level. It's another level of asking. You are no longer asking, you are taking. What do I mean by that? He had everything with him that he could do. But before he did anything, he would want permission from the Father. I don't know if you are hearing me. He had all power. He could do anything. But yet, he would await the Father. The same thing with the when he was in Gethsemane. He could have done, when he was on the cross, he could have called the whole heaven to rescue him. He didn't. He restrained himself. Because that was not the will of the Father. So, in other words, if you abide in Christ, you lose your own will. You take on God's will. I don't know if you are hearing me. That's why Jesus Christ could now pray, thy will, not my will, because the Father was in him. We do what we like. We ask for whatever we want because he's not in us. We do not ask according to God's will because he's not in us. But if he's in you and you have lost your desire for your own life, whatever you open your mouth to ask, it will be God's will. That's why it cannot be denied. That's why in James 4, verse 3, read it.
You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss.
Stop there. You ask but you do not receive. What did the Bible say? Whatever you ask, you will receive, isn't it? James says you ask, but you don't receive. Why is he saying that? Jesus Christ told us whatever we ask, we shall do. No. There was a qualification for that statement. Abide. So James says, it's because you're not abiding. That's why you're asking amiss. Continue reading.
Because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Uh-huh. Your pleasures, your will, not his will. That's why when he teaches his disciples, he says, pray and say, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will. Success in prayer depends on the extent to which you have been consumed by his will. Look at the number. Success rate on prayer depends on the extent to which you have been consumed by his will. Am I talking to somebody here? Ask what you will. That's why I like will. Not your translation that says whatever you wish. Look at your neighbor's translation. What does it say? Is it saying wish? Say, oh my goodness. What is it saying? Wish? No. It's not wish. It's will. Whatever you will. In other words, your will, which is a strong desire it's basically strong desire, commitment, resolve. That's the right word. Strong resolve. Amen? Whatever you will, whatever you want backly, you will get it because it is consumed. It is consumed in the will of God. It is birthed in the will of God. That will is no longer your will. It is the will of God. Amen. We ask amiss. Look at the neighbor. We ask amiss because we are not consumed by the will of the Father. So abide in me and my word in you. Amen. If you do so, you can ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Amen? The word of God is its spirit. The word of God is this, the life of this tree is the spirit of God, which is the word of God. These branches, continually, they must receive the word to live. This word is not just letters, but it's a spirit to those who believe it. And once we are consumed by it, it becomes the sap that flows in us. What is this? The blood, if you like, that flows in us becomes this word of God, giving nourishment to all our dead parts, cleansing every place that needs to be cleansed. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Word of God requires, the relationship with Christ requires that we must continually be influenced by the Word of God. Be influenced by it in every area of our lives. Amen. This is our word. This is our nutrition. This is our life. Look at number. Say number. This is our nutrition. This is our life. Without them, without it, we will starve. Amen. Let us increase our time in His presence. There's no shortcut to it. Let us increase our time in His presence. How else can you know the Word of God if not by reading it and meditating on it? It's impossible. How can you turn not to the left or to the right of it unless you know it? And how can you know it unless you meditate on it day and night? Joshua told us that that is the way to do it. So meditate on His word day and night. Amen. That way, we will avoid many things. When you come out and you begin to ask God for something, it is done. Are you hearing me? In the Word of God, a lot of things will begin to fall off that are not true. You know, there are a lot of things that we want so badly, so badly. Look at your neighbor, there are things we want so badly. That have got nothing to do with the will of God for our lives. Remember, the will of God is the will of God for your life. The will of God is the plan of God for your life. And we need to understand. You know, sometimes when you're saying the will of God, for some people, okay, it's channeling, okay, it's restricting, okay, it's punishment. No. It's the best thing for your life. It's the best thing for your life. Hallelujah. It's what? It's the best thing for our life. You know, it's not like our parents. You know, our parents, when you are disobedient, a child, they ask you to do something, you don't do it. You know, that's why that sometimes the Bible refers as to us fathers in this world or parents in this world as wicked. Even your evil father. Huh? Does it say that? Even your evil father, if you ask for this, he will do this, isn't it? Does it say that? Even your what? Has anybody do hear that? Even what? If you ask them for what? For fish, they won't give you snake, isn't it? As evil as they are. Okay? So it means there is some evilness going on here. And you can see this. When a child is not obedient, or is not, if you feel that this child is not listening to me as a parent, ne? And you decide in your heart that this child, I'll show this one something. I know there's a time when this child will need me. Don't we do that? We say, okay, I know how to, I'll get this one. Don't worry. One day the child comes, she has even forgotten. Papa, 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 papa. Koskolong. They say we are going on a trip to what, and it's an educational thing. And you can see the way this child is excited. And you say, okay, who's your father? Who is your father? Why don't you ask your father? So what do you mean is my who's my father? You are my father. No. The father is the one when he asks you to do something, you do it. The poor child at that time, the evil father has just given it to the child. But God is not like that. No, it's not like that. If this is necessary, it doesn't matter whether you disobeyed yesterday, he will still do it for you. He won't hold on to something like that but what you don't need, he won't give you. That is the difference between this father and that one. That one, he will give you even what you don't even ask for. And he will not keep from you what you need, what he was going to give you anyway, according to his will, because you need it according to the plan of God for your life. You need it. He will give you that car even if you have been unfaithful in tithing or giving into the ministry. He will give you that car. And I know some of us will say, the reason why you're not doing this is because you're not giving into the ministry, you're not giving. He's not evil like us. He's not evil like us. He will still do it. How many of us God is using even when we are failing? I'm standing here not because I'm perfect, but he honors me with his word. But yet, I'm not perfect. But he won't say, I won't use this one. I'm waiting for the perfect one. No. Hallelujah. The most important thing is this. Remain connected to the will of God. That's the most important. The will of God is the best thing for your life. And how can you know the will of God except when you're connected to him in prayer and reading of the word and meditation and quiet time? And all those things. You cannot. Amen? And the Bible says that we don't even know how to pray. It is by the Spirit of God that we are even helped how to pray. Amen? Am I talking to somebody today? So what are we saying? Let this spirit life live in us. Giving life to our bodies, giving us fresh desires, fresh wishes, new appetites. We need the life of God in us. You know, when your appetite, things fall away that you used to like and want, you know that the word of God has taken over. Some of us, before we were born again, we're looking for things. Now we are born again, we are still looking for the same things. Something has not changed. Amen. Something ought to give. Put on Christ. Allow Christ to consume your desires. I never used to like things like this. Is it making sense? You know what? I'll be spending my money on this, but I feel I no longer have desires for those things. Yes. Congratulations. Christ is beginning to live in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is beginning to live in you. He's taking over. Hallelujah. Has anybody told you that you have changed? Huh? Has anybody ever told you since you got born again that you have changed? Let me see those hands. Only those that somebody told them something. Hallelujah. Jesus. You see, I even lost balance. I'm worried. Jesus Christ didn't die for a small change. He died for a big change. A noticeable change. Oh, you're not hearing me. The change is like between white and black. going to the east and going to the west. A complete turnaround. Amen. We need a shocking change in our lives. Hallelujah. If we are going to qualify for heaven, we need a shocking change. We must look nowhere like this world. Nowhere close. We must look like we are foreigners or whatever. We don't live here. Say, neighbor, do something. Stop living and let Christ live in you. Become a strange person. People must begin to tiptoe around you. People mustn't relax. When you are around, they must feel that, heaven is here now, we must behave. We cannot say things. They must even say, we can't say these things in his presence. We can't talk like that when this one is here. Oh yes, congratulations, you have now become Christ. When they swear, they must apologize. I'm so sorry, you know what, I don't know what happened. I'm so sorry. Am I talking to somebody here? People cannot just be, it means they don't see the difference between you and them. If you are transformed, obanali dignity, ukila bona batho bana ba baba bofileng ba ba batlameng ba. Huh? Ba yintseng, ba rwetseng. Motho a rwetseng ha kena wa utlwa hore yeah. Ona o rwetse ha ba pa. Are you hearing me? Say, neighbor, ako rwaleka Christ, man. Put on Christ. Hallelujah. You come into a place, people feel or no, it cannot remain the same. Let's do something. How fita fela ba pate di birita bon? Oh, yes. In front of you, and you are carrying Christ. Demons spoke when Jesus Christ came. Before he even said anything, he said, please, why you want to disturb us? Demons that make people drink alcohol must be uncomfortable when you are around. Amen. When the branches become like Christ, that's what happens. Hallelujah. The problem, we talk too much, but our lives say very little. Nothing in support of what we claim. I'm done preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we going to be consumed by the word? Could religion, look at them, are it low challenge, religion. Huh? Amen. Ask your neighbor, how sorry kita la wena? What is your neighbor saying? How sorry kita? Do you ever get hungry? Is it a yes or a no? It's a yes. Spiritual hunger or physical? Which one are they talking about? Physical hunger. Even now, there are those who are looking and say, yeah, kina kwa ujai. Look at the time, say, if you nekila hai nkabe kija. If I was home, I would be eating right now. I'll be snacking. If we were like that in the spirit, this would be better people. You know, I don't know. I always find Muslim very interesting. They are very interesting. You know, just this week I went to organize something for your mother's shop, and you know, and this guy, this Muslim, left me there and went to pray at the counter. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I was standing there. I felt so sorry for myself. For two reasons. Why I wouldn't do that as a Christian. Number two, I found myself desperate and had to wait for him. I waited for him. He prayed. He came back. I was still standing there. And I said, I really respect this. If we were like that, imagine. Hana kuifita utse, li spirit is utle alam ya spirit illam. Sorry, I'm coming back. Sorry, I'll be with you. Imagine, we the people who know the truth. Imagine if we were, where would we be? You know what is our problem? The things that we hold on to so dearly, that we honor even above God, are not the ones that sustain our lives. Those people, they know very well what sustains them. That even if I lose this customer, I know what sustains me. That's our problem. Rona is our problem. We'd rather lose a relationship with God than lose a customer. Because it's the customer that gives me money. But we don't see the real hand behind that money, which is God. The day we change our perspective is the day we'll become radical. Because the things we chase, we never catch. And we increasingly become more restless and frustrated. I have seen, it's just that Remanganga, I say never Remanganga, you know, Remanganga. I'm done preaching, now I'm just sharing. You're hearing me? Remanganga, ne? Because I've seen it in my life. I'll hear the voice says, no, now you put this thing down, do this. And then na kabunganga waka, wautusis. I look and say, no, I have to finish this by this time. No. Guess what? I continue. After 3 hours, I look back, I did nothing. Kiri. Because if I had listened to you, I would have needed only 2 minutes to do everything, it would have been done. But I didn't. Continued with my plan. Let's have the life of Christ in us. His word, his voice, his spirit. Our lives will be a lot better. And we'll be dangerous individuals. This world will respect us. They will fear us. Clap hands for Jesus. Amen. Is there somebody who wants to give his or her life to Jesus here? Yeah? If you are not born again, I want to pray with you. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Amen. Let me see your hand. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Lift up your hand. Don't worry about who is there, who's watching, who's listening. It's your life. Let me see that hand. If you're watching us online, I want to pray for you as well. If you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, let us pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I open my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. I believe you have died for me. I believe you rose and you are alive today. You are seated on the right hand of God and you are praying for me. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. And I receive the right to be called your child from today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Glory to Jesus.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.